Let's pray. Lord God, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to meet here. We thank you for a warm building to meet in on a cool morning, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate your love for us and how you've poured that out on us so graciously and so generously, Lord God. Help us to reflect this morning on how we can respond to that love and to your truth that you've spoken into our lives. How we can soften our hearts to be obedient to you. Just guide my words. Help me to share your truth and communicate it clearly this morning. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Doug sends his greetings from Israel this morning. I don't know how many people got that remind message this morning with the beautiful picture of the Sea of Galilee. But Doug's over in Israel, just over there spending some time in the land where the Bible took place, learning and growing over there. And I'm sure he's going to have some awesome stuff to share with us about that when he's back the end of the month. So you can be praying for him. As he's over there in Israel, pray that he can soak all the information in that's probably being crammed into his brain over this week and next week. And Al Joseph is over there with him too, so you can pray for Al as well. A good time for them. But for us that are here, we're going to talk over the next couple weeks, do a little bit of a series on some of the parables of Jesus. Some of the parables, some of Jesus' stories that he used to teach throughout his time here on this earth. And if you want to do an interesting study, want something interesting to read on your own at home sometime, go on to YouVersion, the Bible app, and go to the reading plans and search for Jesus' parables. There's a bunch of different reading plans that go over Jesus' parables. Josh shared last week that there are 36 parables that Jesus spoke to his disciples while he was on this earth, and YouVersion has a couple good reading plans so you can read through those parables, and it's some deep stuff, so it takes a little bit of work if you're going to dig into that to understand what Jesus was communicating, but it's really worthwhile stuff to study. And so I'm excited over the next couple weeks that myself and then Doug, when he gets back, we get to share with you some of Jesus' parables and his teachings. And before we dig into that today, just kind of make sure we're all on the same page with what a parable is. A parable, that word parable, is a transliteration of a Greek word that means comparison. I know that was a really nerdy sentence there, and I'll try not to be that nerdy the rest of the time through, but I thought that was a really interesting and helpful fact. The parable comes from a word that means comparison. That a parable is a story, and it may or may not be an actual account. The parable we're going to look at today is just a story about a farmer. It could be any farmer, anywhere, at any time. But some of the stories, the parables that Jesus told, have names attached to them, and scholars debate whether Jesus was telling an actual account about actual people, or if he was just making a story. But either way, it's a story, and the point of it isn't really about the story itself. The point of a parable is about some truth that's being illustrated. There's some truth underneath that Jesus is trying to explain through this story, this parable. It's kind of like when I speak up here, sometimes I tell you stories about my life when I'm speaking up front. And I don't tell you those because I think my life is awesome and that you're super interested in my life. Because my life's not that awesome and interesting. But I tell you stories sometimes because hopefully it helps to explain the truth and helps you to understand and bring into the real world the truth that I'm trying to express to you. In the same way with Jesus, he tells these stories to try and illustrate some deeper point. And one of the questions that Jesus' disciples and his early listeners always asked was, Jesus, why teach in these parables? Why teach in these stories? Why not just plainly say, plainly express what you want us to know and what you want us to understand. And I think there's two reasons why Jesus speaks in parables and why parables are important for us to look at today. Jesus tells these stories because, first of all, the truths that he's trying to communicate are truths about God and his relationship to man. A lot of the parables start out, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like. Jesus is trying to explain who God is and his relationship to Israel, his relationship to us human beings. That's not a simple topic. That's not something you can give a couple bullet points and you got God figured out, or you can give a couple bullet points and you have God's relationship with man figured out. Jesus uses these stories to express those deep things because they are complex, they are hard to understand, and you can't just express them simply. So a story allows for that depth of understanding to express complicated things. Also, Jesus tells parables because Jesus doesn't want us to have easy answers. In Mark 4, verse 12, some of Jesus' followers ask him, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And one of the things Jesus says is so that hearing they would not hear and seeing they would not see, that Jesus doesn't just want to give us easy answers. He wants us to really think deeply about who he is and who he desires us to be. Jesus didn't just give his followers, here's the five bullet points about God, here's the six steps to being a perfect follower of me. He wanted us to actually really think and dig into who really is God. Right, because part of being a Christian, the main part of being a Christian, is having that relationship with God. And that relationship means digging deeply into who God is and letting God deeply understand and know who we are as well. And so Jesus tells these parables so that we have to think, so that we have to examine them, so that we have to dig deeply into what Jesus is saying and dig deeply into our own hearts and how it applies to us in our life. And so anyway, the parable we're going to look at today is the parable of the sower. You can open up to Mark chapter 4, or you can pull it up on YouVersion. There is a live event on YouVersion this morning. If you've never done that before, you can open the YouVersion app and go into the extra settings or extra options, and then there's something that says events, and then you should be able to find Liberty Grace, and it'll have all our passages for this morning on there. But we're in Mark chapter 4 this morning. And first of all, before we dig into this, I want to just let you know this morning, I'm not going to challenge you in some new area this morning. This year, we've already challenged you if you've been at Liberty throughout 2019 so far, or listen to the messages online, you've been challenged in some pretty deep areas so far this year. We talked about being faithful to God. We've talked about being faithful to God's Word. We've talked about being faithful to serve. Last week, Josh talked about being faithful to give of our time and of our money. You've been challenged in some deep areas already this year, and my point this morning is not to give you another area to challenge you in, but as we look at this parable, for you to think, what are you doing with that truth that you've already heard this year? That truth that you've been challenged with from God's Word, what are you doing with that in your life and in your heart? How are you letting that affect you and affect who you are? And I want to give you some time this morning as we go through this parable to examine your heart. Is truth penetrating? Is truth making a difference in your life? And so look at Mark chapter 4 and start at verse 2. And Jesus was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And first of all, it should be pretty obvious from this context, but just to make sure we're all on the same page, a sower here is a farmer, not a seamstress. Hopefully we can all get that from the rest of the context, but he's talking about a farmer going out and spreading seed on his field in this parable. And so hopefully this morning, hopefully you understand a little bit about how plants work and how plants grow, that you understand that tomatoes don't show up at Walmart from a factory or something, that they actually start as seeds and grow up and become plants, and then those plants produce fruit. Or if your garden's like my garden this summer, you plant tomato seeds and you grow venison because the deer eat your tomato plants. And sadly, your wife doesn't let you harvest the venison. But that's another topic for another day. But anyway, hopefully you understand a little bit. You've grown a plant or seen a plant grow. Understand how that works, that the seed goes into the ground and the plant grows from that, and then the fruit is produced from that. On to verse 4. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. And other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus tells this parable about this man spreading seed over his field. And he says that the seed falls on four different types of soil. That the first type of soil is packed down hard soil. And when the seed falls on that soil, it can't get down into the soil. And so the plant doesn't grow at all. It's like if we threw a bunch of seed on the parking lot out there. We wouldn't come back next week and have a cornfield out in the parking lot. You'd probably come back in an hour and there'd be a giant flock of birds eating all the seed. When that seed falls on the hard ground, it can't get in and it can't grow at all. And then he says some seed fell on rocky soil or shallow soil. It went into the ground, but the roots couldn't go down deep, and so it grew up a little bit. But when the sun started to beat down on it, it withered and it died. This past summer, I have a bird feeder by my house, and as you guys are well aware, this past summer was a really wet summer. And so some moisture got in my bird feeder, kind of packed some of the bird seed together, and some of the bird seed actually started to sprout. And I had these little sprouts of whatever plant is in the bird seed growing in my bird feeder. And had I let that go and not cleaned it up, those little seedlings would have been there for a while, but you know what would have happened? Eventually it would have dried out, the sun would have beat it down, and those seedlings would have died because there was no soil for them to get nourishment from. And so the second seed falls on this rocky, shallow soil. It grows up quickly, but then fades away. And then there's the third soil, the soil with the thorns or the weeds. And if you're a gardener, if you're a want-to-be gardener, probably especially if you're a want-to-be vegetable gardener, you know how this works. You plant your seeds and the weeds come up, and you got to keep getting rid of the weeds, because if you let the weeds grow, it's going to choke out your plants. And they might grow a little bit, but they're not going to grow strong and produce good fruit. And so some seed fell in the weeds. And then finally, some fell on good soil. And when it got into that good soil and the roots could sink down deep and get good nourishment, then something awesome happens. It produces 30 and 60 and 100-fold, that it produces a whole bunch of fruit. And if you're a vegetable gardener, you understand how this works. At my house, for whatever reason, in my garden, zucchini grows really well. And a couple years ago, I grew zucchinis for the first time, and I didn't really know what to expect, so I planted a bunch of zucchini plants. And I ended up with buckets of zucchini. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this zucchini? I kind of felt like Oprah, like, you get a zucchini, and you get a zucchini, and you get a zucchini. Right? When that seed hits good, healthy soil and can get nourishment, it just grows and grows and grows and produces tons of fruit. Something awesome happens. And so Jesus tells this parable, this story about these four different types of soil. And you can see in the next couple of verses the reaction of his listeners, and it doesn't say this explicitly, but I think we can kind of infer that Jesus' listeners hear this and they're like, okay, Jesus, that's cool. That's a nice horticulture lesson there. Right? That's how seeds work and the soil works. That's nice, Jesus. But remember, the thing about parables, it's not about the story itself. It's about the truth that Jesus is trying to explain and express with that illustrative story. And thankfully for this story, a little bit later, Jesus goes and sits down with his disciples and explains what he really means with this. Because honestly, if I was there just hearing Jesus talk about these soils, I'd probably be with the crowds going, okay, Jesus, that's a cool botany lesson there. Like making my notes, like Jesus says, mulch your garden well. Like I don't know that I would know what's going on. But thankfully, Jesus lays out and explains what he means and what his point is, what the underlying truth is in this parable. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And so the first thing we see there is that Jesus doesn't real clearly define who the sower and the seed is. He leaves it a little bit vague. And I think the most direct interpretation and understanding of who the sower is and what the seed is the sower is Jesus, and he's sowing his word, he's sowing his message about the kingdom, about God's plan for Israel and for God's people. I think that's the most direct understanding of the sower and the seed. But I think Jesus intentionally leaves it a little bit vague in that these principles about the soils apply anytime there is somebody expressing God's truth to somebody else. Whether that's Jesus explaining the truths of the kingdom of God to his disciples, or whether that's somebody going out and sharing the gospel, sharing that Jesus lived and that Jesus died for us, and through faith we can be saved and come to know God. Right? That is a sower sowing seed as well. Us going out and expressing the gospel to somebody. Or simply when somebody, like I'm doing this morning, stands up and proclaims God's word and teaches God's word, that's somebody sowing truth, sharing truth with somebody else. And so the first thing as we look at this parable, we realize that sometimes we're the sower and sometimes we're the field. Sometimes we're the ones sharing the gospel with somebody else, sharing God's truth with somebody else. And this parable can be an encouragement to us that as we go and as we sow the seed, as we share Jesus and share His word with other people, our job is just to scatter that seed. And that people are going to respond differently to that. Some people are just going to shut it off right away, as we'll see when we go through the soils. Some people, it's going to make a huge impact in their life. And our job is just to be that sower, sowing that seed. And it's between that person in their heart and God working in their heart to determine what they do with that truth. Sometimes we're the sower just casting the seed throughout the field. And sometimes in this parable, we're the soil. We're the ones who are hearing the word. We're the ones who are hearing truth. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning as we look at what Jesus says about these different soils. How is our heart in receiving God's word and receiving God's truth? And that's beyond just our acceptance of the gospel, but as we learn more and more from God's word and God's truth, are we letting that sink deeply into our hearts and impact our life? What type of soil are we? What type of soil have you been this year when you've been challenged to be faithful to the word and be faithful to serve and be faithful to give? Look at verse 15. Jesus starts to unpack these different types of soil. And these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And so the first type of soil, again, is the hard soil, where the seed cannot sink down in and grow at all. And we probably all know people, we probably all have some loved ones that are hard soil towards the gospel. People that any time you mention God or Jesus, they just automatically shut it down. Whether that's because of pride, whether that's because of hurts and pains in their past, whatever it is, any time God is mentioned, they just shut it down. The soil is hard. The seed can't penetrate at all. And I think we need to look at our own lives at times too. And make sure in our lives, are there parts of our lives where our soil is hard? Are there areas in our lives where we don't want God's truth to penetrate? Right? I'm happy doing this for God, but God, leave this area alone. And anytime we read something in the Bible or we hear a message on that area, we kind of immediately shut it down and say, God, I'm good with that. Maybe last week when Josh was speaking about giving, right? Maybe somebody's sitting back there thinking, Josh, he's got a few screws loose in his head. I don't want to listen to anything he says. I don't want to hear about giving. And first of all, you're probably right that Josh has a couple screws loose in his head. He's not here, so I can say that. No, I'm just kidding. Right, but irregardless of what you think of the messenger, if it's God's truth that's being shared, are our hearts open to hear that and to take that in and let that penetrate and do something in our lives? Are there areas in our lives that we've kind of shut off to allow God to change, that we've said, I'm good in that area? Here's the thing, though, about hard soil. Hard soil can be tilled. Hard beat down soil can be dug up and tilled so that the seed can then penetrate. And God is in the business of tilling up hard soil. Whether that's people who are hardened toward the gospel, toward God in any way, or whether that's hard areas in our life, God is in the business of tilling up hard soil. In Ezekiel 36:26, God speaks to Israel, and this isn't necessarily a direct application to us, but it shows us the character of God. God speaks to Israel and says to Israel, one day, Israel, I'm going to take your heart of stone and I'm going to make it a heart of flesh so that you can know me and so that you can be obedient to me. God is in the business of tilling up hard soil so that the seed of truth can sink in. And that's encouragement for us, whether we're thinking of those loved ones that are hardened towards the gospel or whether we're looking at areas of our life where we need to be better at surrendering to God and letting His truth sink in. On to verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. I wanted to talk about these next two soils together a little bit and then separately a little bit. Because the shallow soil, the rocky soil, and the thorny, weedy soil both in a way kind of look the same when they're played out in our lives. In both these soils, it's when we hear truth, when we hear something and we get fired up and we get pumped up and we're ready to go conquer the world for Jesus, and then a little bit later we kind of fade away. We talk about this a lot with camp and momentum or retreats. We go and we get fired up and we're going to read a book of the Bible a day, not a chapter of the Bible a day, a book of the Bible a day, because we're so pumped up, and we go home and we're good for a month or a week or maybe a day, and then it just kind of fades away. We let that truth sink in a little bit and fire us up, but we don't let it really change who we are and change our lives. In the shallow soil, this happens when we hear that truth and we let it change our behavior, but we don't let Jesus change our hearts. The root hasn't sunk down deeply into us. We let it change our minds and our thinking, but we don't let it really change who we are. And that's what God wants from us. That's what God wants to do in us. Not just change our behavior, but change who we really are at the core. It's not about us just going and doing good things, but being people who really care for others. Right? Maybe you heard some of the service opportunities downtown, some of the stuff that Kurt talks about or that Josh talks about, and you're like, man, I need to go do something downtown. And you get fired up and you go start to help the needy downtown. And then you realize that needy people are needy, and that's really draining. And then you kind of stop showing up at stuff and helping out. Because our mind has maybe changed, our behavior we've tried to change, but we haven't changed our hearts. We haven't actually let our hearts become broken and compassionate towards people in need. We've said it's a good idea that I should go help them, but we haven't become people that deeply care about other people. We need to let truth sink in deep, and we need to let God change our hearts and who we are, not just what we do. Or else when things get hard, we're just going to fade away. One of the things I talk to our teens about a lot at the end of camp and at the end of momentum, like I said earlier, they're fired up. They're going to go home and they're going to do all these awesome things. And that's awesome. I don't want to put that fire out. But one thing I challenge them to do is think of small stuff that you can do on a regular basis that's actually going to be an achievable thing for you. And then once you start doing that small stuff, day after day after day, it becomes a habit. And when you repeat a habit month after month after month, year after year after year, that habit becomes a value. It becomes who you are. And that's really what God wants for us. Not just that we change our behavior for a brief time, but we really let God change who we are. Are we shallow soil in some ways? Getting fired up and changing our behavior, but not really letting God penetrate our heart and who we are. And then there's the weedy soil. And again, it kind of looks the same. You get fired up and there's growth for a while, but then it fades away. But it kind of fades away for a different reason, because it gets choked out by other things. And people my age and younger, we're really good at being weedy soil. I'll admit it in myself, I'm really good at being weedy soil. Because we hear stuff, we hear truth, and we're like, that's awesome, I want to do that. And then we add that to our life, but we never really take anything else out. We just keep trying to add and add and add and add. And you can't really produce that way. If you never thin out, if you never weed your garden, the good plants aren't really going to produce. And sometimes we just keep trying to add and add and add truth to our life without getting rid of the lies. One of the things I learned when I got married was that I can't do everything anymore. I have to make some priorities, and I have to pick and choose what I'm going to do. When I was single and when I was still living at my parents' house, I mean, pretty much anything I wanted to do, I would do. And that sounds really bad. I don't mean it like in an immoral sense. I still had moral boundaries, but as far as time constraints, anything that I wanted to do, I could kind of do. I had the time to do it. And then as I got older and got more responsibilities and a home and a wife and all that stuff, I had to start making priorities. And sometimes in our spiritual life, we have to weed some things out. Sometimes in our hearts, we have to weed some things out so that the good stuff can grow. And one of the truths about life is that the bad stuff always seems to have a tendency to choke out the good stuff. It never seems like the good stuff chokes out the bad stuff. And unless you're being intentional about growing that good stuff in your life, the bad stuff always just seems to choke that out. And I'm sure you've seen that in your life. Right, those distractions and those things that aren't really that profitable tend to choke out the stuff that we really want to accomplish. And sometimes we need to be intentional and pull some stuff out of our lives. Maybe some stuff that's not even horrible stuff, but just things that are distracting to us. So that the good stuff, so that that truth, so that really valuable stuff can have room to grow and produce in our life. Are we being intentional about what's growing in our heart and our life? Are we letting truth sink in and then taking out the other stuff so that that truth can grow? Or are we trying to keep cramming more and more and more in and the good stuff just getting pushed out? Think about your activities. Think about your passions. Think about what you're feeding and nurturing in your life. And then finally, the last soil, verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And so finally, there's good soil as well. Those times when we do hear the truth and we do let it penetrate deeply into our hearts. When we till up the hard soil and say, God, I'm going to surrender this and I'm going to let your truth sink in. Those times when we say, I'm going to let you change who I am, not just what I do. Those times when we say, I'm going to take some of this other stuff out so that good stuff can grow, then the seed sinks into good soil and then awesome stuff starts to happen. Things start to produce like crazy. And I don't want us to misapply and misunderstand this. This isn't a televangelist message today, like plant a seed of faith and your bank account's going to grow like crazy. This is let God plant truth in your life and look how He changes your life and the lives of people around you like crazy. It may not change your circumstances at all. It may just change how you look at your circumstances and how you see God working in you and others around you. It may not make your actual life better, but it will make it more valuable because you're doing something, you're producing fruit of eternal value. Let that truth sink in and just look at the amazing thing God does. And the crazy thing about a plant, if you've ever grown any type of vegetable, you throw the seed in the ground and then nothing really happens. Right? You don't wake up the next day and you're like, oh, tomatoes. Right? Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes that has to sink in and that has to really work and grow and develop. But then you look back weeks and months or maybe even years later and you're like, man, God, I let that truth sink in. I let that little thing change in my heart, change who I am. And it's crazy what you've done in my life. It's crazy the impact you've used me to have in the people around me. When we let that truth sink in, things like being faithful to God, being faithful to His Word, being faithful to serve, being faithful to grow, or to give, excuse me, then God does some awesome stuff with that. In one of our former kind of still students, I'm not going to use her name, I'll embarrass her a little bit, but not embarrass her totally this morning. But one of our kind of former, current-ish teens in the youth group, I've seen this play out in her life over the past year, and it's been pretty awesome. Because I've seen her go from someone who graduated from high school, not really sure what she's doing, kind of down about that, feeling stuck, and then she got to go on a missions trip this past summer. So a missions trip that a lot of you guys supported her and helped send her on. And now she's come back and she's doing some awesome things for God, some awesome things in our church, in our youth group. And I'm pretty proud of her and I'm pretty praising God for what He's doing in her. I'm excited to be a part of it. But what happened is she went on that trip and she heard truth, and she let that truth sink in. And her circumstances aren't much different than they were last year, but her perspective towards those circumstances have changed. And her attitude in letting God use her and impact other people has changed tremendously. She let that seed of truth go into her heart and grow and change who she is. And God's done some awesome things. And I want to see that in my life. I want to see that in your lives as well. That you would let these truths that we talk about, these truths that you're reading at home in the Word, let those things sink in. Those opportunities that we present here, those opportunities that you see all around you to serve and to care and to give, let those things sink into your heart. Make the most of those. And then sit back and be amazed at what God does in your life and in the lives of people around you. When that fruit starts to produce, it produces 30 and 60 and 100 fold. I hope that we can come back each week and just be amazed at what God is doing in our lives and in our community. Because He's already doing some awesome stuff in our church and in the Johnstown area. And we just want to continue to build that and be a part of that. Let me pray for us. Lord God, Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what it shares with us. Help us to be fertile ground for Your truth to go. Help us to surrender those hard areas of our lives to You. Help us to till the soil down deep, Lord God, to weed out the weeds and the distractions and those things in our life that are keeping us from producing well, Lord God. Let us have changed hearts and let us be amazed at what You're doing in our world. Lord, we thank You that You care for us. We thank You that You want to do things in us and You want to use us to impact others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.